Sports Radio 92.9 Game. It is the top of the hour, 7:03. Thank you for hanging out with us on a just dreary. The whole week's been dreary outside, man. I hate to always get on here and like talk about the weather, but golly, the storm that hit last night as we were on our way home from the United game was insane. Looked like something you'd see in like Tornado Alley. Like, it was nuts. Got a picture of it. I'll probably post it on the socials
in
a little bit.
I was checking the weather this morning because it was clear when we came in, just kind of dreary, but then it's like, it's going to be pouring at 9 a.m. I was like, well, that's not great for the commuters.
All week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to the commuters out there. Hopefully, got just a piping hot cup of coffee right now.
Drive slow.
You know what I mean?
It's okay.
Going to be a wet MGA tonight.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much.
That doesn't sound great.
Yeah, it means cart path only, I'm sure. Yeah. It's just. Like, I don't get a lot of golf these days, so I got to need my Thursday night 9 holes.
Right. Good. Yeah. You know, you get dry racing on Tuesday and you're Thursday night, and then your concerts, whenever else you can fit them in.
Well, that's, by the way, I got to miss.
Ding.
We got to move Tuesday iRacing League.
Yeah.
Because I got Metallica.
Metallica.
I got to check on those tickets. I haven't, you know, I'm supposed to receive them sometime this week.
Yeah, I thought you knew a guy.
I do know a guy, and my guy said I would get him the week before, and it's, yeah. And so I get nervous against him. I'm like, hey, it's the week before.
Ali Bo brought. I wanted to watch Messi play last year.
I didn't bring him. He threw me.
I was like, man, I wonder if Mike Conti can get me tickets.
Right.
I mean, who else would you ask? Right.
Right.
Other than Mike Conti, and Bo was like, you're not gonna ask me. I was like,
Mike Conti's
kind of the guy.
That's actually not what I said.
He's like, I know people.
I said, well, I know people in the same organization, you know. And he's like, yeah, but Mike Conte.
I mean, it was funny.
I don't know anybody.
I definitely came out looking dumb in this equation because within 30 seconds, old Mr. Tim was on Bo.
Yeah.
Bo's like, yeah, it turns out I got you 2 sweet tickets right now. I was like,
oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, but I saw it could go both ways. Like, if you had asked him, like, why are you asking me? Just ask Mike.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Oh, thank you, Allie.
No, I was
just,
no.
Look,
no.
Just over a month, and she already understands the dynamic here.
I think, okay? Allie, I think you know me enough to know that I don't mind. I like helping people.
You do.
And I don't mind, you know, pulling a couple of favors to help people. I never for myself unless, you know.
It's Metallica.
Look, it's Metallica.
Shout out to Tim. Still the greatest seats I've ever had at a sporting event.
Yeah.
For that Atlanta United game against Messi last year,
That's awesome.
They won, which in insane fashion, much in the same way they did last night, right at the end of stoppage time.
Yeah, but in all reality, before Mike was done, you know, taking his foot out of his mouth, I was like, "You need a parking pass?"
yes, I do. My wife walked like that suite we set in for that. Like they had a photographer in there. We got like an email with pictures like 2 days later.
Whoa,
yeah, it was crazy. It was awesome.
That's amazing.
I know, like a sushi bar. I was like, yo, where are we at right now?
I got him in.
Yeah,
the owner's suite.
It was the luxury of luxury.
The
Maybach. Hey, Bo, I want to see you again.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll just go straight to you.
Bo's like, let me start with Tim with the Metallica first, okay?
Yeah.
We'll build from there.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, look, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, Allie, I want to go to Dirk's Bentley next Thursday. You know what I mean? Like, who's
easy.
Plugged in now?
Yeah.
Who's plugged in now?
Easy now.
Anyways, look, man, it's been a fun show so far. We're going to get into the Jesse Bates cuts in this segment. Coming up at 7:20, we'll talk a little bit about the Atlanta United, their big win last night. That's back-to-back, building some. There's no momentum like momentum. We'll also talk about the SEC meetings going on. We got Trey Wallace coming up later in the show from Outkick.
Bubba's awesome cousin.
Dude. Yeah, Bubba's cousin. Awesome dudes from Mobile, Alabama. Trey has risen. He's a Tennessee fan like Bubba as well, by the way. Ding. So we'll talk to him later on in the show.
When Dylan texts us that he had Trey Wallace, I go, Bubba's cousin. He's like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah,
laugh out loud. And I go, no.
That's him.
I wrote back. I go, no, I'm pretty positive that's Bubba Wallace, the NASCAR driver's cousin. And Dylan was like, no, I mean, maybe, but I don't think so. And I'm like, no, Dylan, I'm telling you.
The funny thing is Trey used to do radio down in Mobile, which is where Bubba's from. And they're all, you know, from down there. And the first time I ever brought it, Trey was like, I see you're a NASCAR fan. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm Martin Truex fan at the time. And I'm like, who are you fan of? He's like, Bubba. It's my cousin. I was like, no, it's not. I was kind of joking with him. And he's like, no, seriously. Yeah, it's my cousin. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that'd be fun to talk to him later on. He's down in Destin covering all things SEC. And look, we're going to get into that conversation about Brian Kelly's comments about playing the Big Ten every year. So I think that's pretty cool. For right now, though, and Jesse Bates was on the podium just a couple of days ago. We got to a little bit of the cuts yesterday, talking about Michael Penix, talking about Darnell Mooney, the expectations. We also got into a little bit about the absences, right? And I'm pretty sure we talked about Kirk Cousins, Ray McLeod, Caleb McGarry, Kyle Pitts, which we, you know, cleared up earlier. That was James Palmer's tweet yesterday about how it was a foot injury, and he was actually in the building, just not on the field.
That James Palmer goes, Some thought it might have been a contract situation.
Yeah. I love that too.
Mike sent that to us, and I go, who the thought it was a contract situation? Just, no one thought it was that, James.
It reeked of an agent being like, hey, you know what I mean? You're like, it's not a contract situation. Like, what are we talking about?
Nobody's talking about a contract situation.
Yeah, dog, that ain't it. We just want to make sure the guys there working.
Yeah.
You know, like, we want to make sure you're working on his craft.
Well, I bring all that up because we talked about four offensive players yesterday, and Jesse Bates was also at the podium, and he brought up, look, it's still important for veterans to be here and go through these OTAs.
Because, I mean, we get this 10-week off-season period together where you want to kind of knock out all the, you know, your base, you know, fundamentals, your philosophies, everything, your culture. That's what this is about, gaining that trust and understanding what do we want to be for the next year, for this year coming up. So when we get to training camp, we can hit the ground running.
I think that what he's saying is of the utmost importance. And it's why we highlight the fact, or not highlight it, but it's why we always talk about when guys aren't there. And we can say this is a big deal or this is not a big deal, but Jesse Bates saying that as an all-pro safety and him talking to you about just hearing it, right, and being around younger guys. And obviously, Zach Robinson is in year number two, Jeff Ulbrich's in year number one, right? So when you kind of divide it that way, it's like, all right, well, you know, they heard Zach Robinson a year ago. If you miss one OTA, what's the big deal, whatever else. Jeff Ulbrich and Jesse Bates' relationship, I would argue, maybe even more important than Michael Penix and Zach Robinson at this point because of how you need this defense to step up to the plate and do things differently this year and make sure they are stopping the run and stopping these teams on third down.
What do you think, as a guy that played offense, when you're a defensive guy kind of saying like the fundamentals and getting the basics, like what do you, like, because here's the thing, we hear the terms 3-4, 4-3, 3-4 with 4-3 tendencies, which none of that actually applies. That's no longer like the fundamentals or the basics of a defense. It's more of what's your position in the nickel? What's your, like, what, like, that? That's your base. Your base defense is nickel these days. So I guess my point is, my question is, what does he mean, though, now in today's game? What you're talking about, the fundamentals, is that, hey, what we want to, what would you see this look, or is it just base, kind of where you're at and what your job is?
Well, I think, let me break that down into two different questions. First of all, for Jesse Bates, I think a lot of fundamentals for him at this point in his career is how you communicate and when you communicate. You know what I mean? Like, do you audible the coverage or the secondary once the motion passes behind the quarterback? Do you do that once he passes the tight end? Like, when are you making changes to what they're doing in terms of, like, okay, the offense is motioning. I need to talk to Mike Hughes. I need to talk to Jordan Fuller, whoever else, maybe Xavier Watts. I need to make sure all the communication's on the same page. That's what I feel like when I think of the secondary and fundamentals. That's the first thing that pops in my mind. Now, of course, they're backpedal, stick the foot in the ground, open the hips this way, form tackling, this, that, and the other. But in OTAs, you're not doing a lot of that stuff. And for Jesse Bates, some of the physical fundamentals are just second nature at this point. For your question about the 3-4 front and the 4-3 and the nickel and everything else going on with that, I do think that there is, and you mentioned it, and Jeff Ulbrich had said this a number of times, you have to be multiple this day and age in the NFL.
There's no such thing as a 4-3 or a 3-4 anymore.
There is, but the problem is you're doing it with all the same people, right? The spacing just changes, right? You're just using the outside linebacker and Leonard Floyd as a defensive end.
Well,
right? You're just simply spacing them out differently.
Yeah, there's no, we're strictly this team.
Yeah, and to your point, the nickel, it's a 4-2 nickel. It's the 4-3 and the 3-4. It's like, okay. I mean, there was times last year where the Falcons go 5-1. You know, you use different personnel. There's 3-3 personnel. You do different things to get into certain situations. But to answer your question about the fundamentals of that, like, when am I two-gapping? Like, if I'm Zach Harrison, per se, when am I two-gapping a tight end? When am I reading the outside shoulder of the tackle? What is the formation recognition? And what is my job on this play? Is my job to rip into the backfield and wreak havoc and make sure that the running back is being forced to cut back? Or is my job to two-gap this tight end or this offensive tackle and play the B and C gaps at the same time? And what does the defense call for in this given situation?
And it probably changes just like when the receiver goes in motion and stuff, like when Jesse calls it, it probably changes for a Zach Harrison when the running back empties out of the backfield or something.
Exactly.
Right? Like then that might change what his read is or what his job is, I should say, on that play.
Right. And I'll go even a step further, and I just talked about, all right, when is Jesse Bates calling different coverages? When is he calling different defenses on the back end based on the motion? And there are just certain points where things are different. Like I said, if you motion a guy on that end around motion, or the orbit motion we used to call it, where the wide receiver comes in motion and he goes behind the quarterback, right? A lot of times you have to wait till he gets on the other side of the quarterback till you change things. Well, what's been in vogue the last 2 years, and I think Mike McDaniel's been one of the first ones to do this, this whip motion where all of a sudden the wide receiver comes in and he just runs a circle around the quarterback and goes back the same way. Why do you think that motion is a thing? It's a thing because they know that the safety is looking at it going, as soon as he gets behind the quarterback, we're going to shift all the coverage this way and all the defense is going to react. Well, guess what? What are you going to do when he just goes back the other direction, right? And then you also use the Tyreek Hill to where he's, you know, starting in the slot and he's motioning out and getting a, you know, a running head start, and all of a sudden he's the outside wide receiver running a go route. Like, there's just certain simple things that you look at and you can break down on film at this point if you're Jesse Bates. And it might have been a point where, hey, this motion is new to us this week, you know, going into a game plan. But Jesse Bates can now look at it, and as it sits, that was, you know, what, Tuesday the 27th of May? And you can go ahead and knock that out, right? So that no matter what happens down the road, when you get into playing Miami this year, as you have on the schedule, and Tua is healthy and Tyreek Hill is healthy, that you don't have to have that conversation. You can go back to May and be like, all right, remember, we looked at the orbit motion, we looked at the whip motion, we looked at the speed motions, we know how to deal with all that. Now what are they doing now?
Yeah.
Right? You basically have laid a base layer for what your defense is going to be. That's exactly what he's talking about OTAs is for.
Yeah, and then so then now when you play them this year, sorry, my NASCAR fantasy alarm's going off, apologize. But now when you see, you're going to basically, you've already got that, and so you're going to find the new stuff. You know their tendencies and what their traditions are, and now it's just the few new things they're doing.
It's layered.
And it makes it just that and then that's where watching film. That's why when you talk about guys like Jesse Bates, he's always in there watching film. The first thing Jesse Bates does when he gets on a bus after a game is iPad. Watch film on his iPad or tablet, Microsoft, whatever it's called, tablet, and gets on there and watches what happened. And he's already, so by the time he gets home that night or to the office Monday morning, he's like, I'm on to Miami or I'm on to whoever the next week is. Yeah. And that's the thing that that is so underrated. And the fan doesn't need, you know, you can get on these guys all you want, but some of these guys are literally over that game before they land the next day.
There's no doubt
before they
about
land
it.
At night, I mean.
And Jesse Bates, you know, emotionally might be ready to move on, but a lot of these guys aren't over it.
Well, I've seen – no, they're not over it, but – they're not over it from the feeling of being of losing that game and how it stings, but they know what happened and where they went wrong. And I've seen Jesse teach other players that. That's the beauty of it. That's how good that dude is, how much he means for your team.
It's one of the reasons I get so frustrated not to go on a Twitter rant. Like, people come up with these ideas on Twitter, and I'm like, I promise you they've thought of that. You know what I mean? Like, I promise you this is not lost on them.
Right,
they
right.
understand the situation. Anyways, we got to go to break.
Why aren't you working out? Why are you doing it at a charity golf tournament? You should be fixing your football game.
We'll get into more Falcons conversation coming up later in the show at 8:20.